This is Focus West Michigan for Wednesday, March 25, 2026. I'm Joe Bilecki with your local news. Saugatuck Township Hall is getting a significant facelift, the first of its kind in 50 years. WGVU's David Limbaugh has the details.
The Saugatuck Township Hall, located in the 3,000 block of Blue Star Highway, is receiving an exterior renovation, transforming it into a welcoming, accessible, and pedestrian-friendly community hub. The 4,000-square-foot facility has maintained its original design since its construction in 1976. Upgrades include a clearly defined entrance, resurfaced facade, new exterior lighting and signage, along with a covered walkway wrapping around the building. The front parking lot will be converted into a pedestrian plaza with enhanced landscaping. Parking will be moved to the rear of the building. Michigan State Police will maintain its space within the Township Hall. The Township's Capital Project Fund and a $185,000 Michigan Economic Development Corporation Rehabilitation and Placemaking Grant supports the renovations. Work will begin on March 30th and is expected to be completed in July. I'm David Limbaugh.
Chobani, the maker of Greek yogurt, is expanding its Norton Shores coffee operation, creating hundreds of new jobs. WGVU's Patrick Center has the details.
In Norton Shores, Chobani owns and operates La Colombe. Its ready-to-drink draft latte coffee has become so popular, it's expanding production, making a $567 million investment. La Colombe will more than double its workforce to keep up with current and future demand, retaining 312 employees while creating 337 new jobs. The company says the expansion will take place in three phases, improving its Michigan end-to-end coffee manufacturing capacity. La Colombe's Norton Shores facility is the hub of innovation, manufacturing, production, and research and development. The state of Michigan anticipates the expansion will support fruit growers and dairy farmers, along with cold chain warehousing, equipment services, and transportation. I'm Patrick Center.
Researchers are raising awareness in West Michigan about a genetic mutation linked to heart failure common in those with Dutch heritage. WGVU's Dee Morrison reports.
We believe that there are about 1,000 descendants of people from Friesland, Netherlands, who came over here 200 years ago, who carry the mutation that puts them at risk for sudden death or heart failure.
Dr. Charles Hong with the Michigan State University College of Human Medicine says the mutation in the phospholamban gene is prevalent among the Dutch, but affects others too.
We have tools and we have drugs and devices to prevent bad things from happening. So it's important to identify these people.
One of those people is Dean Jansen, whose heart issues forced him to retire as an orthopedic surgeon.
It's been very active in my family. 11 family members that are living have the mutation.
Two of Jansen's siblings and all three of his children have it, but he says genetic testing and IVF helped ensure his grandchildren do not.
With in vitro fertilization, we can essentially wipe out in one generation the mutation.
MSU and Corwell Health are launching community outreach to screen for the variant and identify those at risk before a cardiac event occurs.
When we have a cure and when we have clinical trials, it's really important to have these people ready so that they could get those personalized therapies.
Hong says those concerned should contact a cardiologist for initial testing. I'm Dee Morrison.
Ottawa County Commissioner Joe Moss is running for the State House of Representatives. WGVU's Phil Dawson reports Moss has filed as a Republican candidate in the 89th District that includes parts of Ottawa and Muskegon counties.
Members, if I may get your attention, please welcome Joe Moss.
Earlier this month, Ottawa County Commissioner Joe Moss was a visitor to the State House of Representatives in Lansing. He could be a member next year if elected by voters in the 89th House District.
A leader with a worldview that embraces truth.
That was Commissioner Moss during the selection of a new county supervisor last year, listing some of the traits he thinks a leader should have.
A strong moral compass with a conviction to do what's right.
Moss was elected to the Ottawa County Board of Commissioners in 2022 and was chair for 2 years while members of the Conservative Ottawa Impact Group had a majority. He presided over the termination of two supervisors, the unsuccessful effort to fire the county health officer, and age discrimination allegations. Subsequent lawsuits settled for tens of thousands of dollars.
A leader who has demonstrated their ability to make difficult decisions.
The 89th District is currently represented by Republican Luke Meerman of Coopersville, who has not announced if he plans to run for re-election. On his website, Moss says he's pro-life, pro-law and order, and a candidate with the courage to act and the record to prove it.
Someone who understands Ottawa's rich Christian heritage.
A housing project that's set to be built on the site of the former Orbit Room concert venue is being considered by Grand Rapids commissioners for brownfield tax incentives. WGVU's David Limbaugh has more.
The $25 million Lake Eastbrook Apartments project would build approximately 132 apartments within four buildings on the former site of the Orbit Room concert venue behind Centerpoint Mall. Grand Rapids Economic Development Director Sarah Rainero explains how many units will be reserved for residents making area median income.
We're setting aside 45% of the units, which is about 60 of the 132, for households earning 95% to 100% AMI or less.
Developer Scott Weirda, CEO of SW Real Estate Investment, says he's excited to build on the Orbit Room's former site, having frequented the venue in his youth.
We think it's a great site. Lake Eastbrook Boulevard's been improved already with the sidewalks and the landscaping and infrastructure, so it really does lay out quite well.
Kent County Commissioner Robert Womack, himself a former house DJ at the Orbit Room, praised the project's AMI structure as well as how long those income qualifications will last.
Seeing that and the fact that it's going to be in there for 25 years is just very, very important.
The commission will vote on whether to approve those brownfield tax incentives at a future meeting. I'm David Limbaugh.
The state said Tuesday that the city of Coopersville is receiving funding for upgrading its aging water system. It also announced that one of the city's major employers is expanding. WGVU's Patrick Center has the details.
Fairlife produces ultra-filtered lactose-free milk and protein shakes. The drinks have become so popular, the Coca-Cola-owned company is expanding its Coopersville facility. That's where it's investing $650 million, adding 245,000 square feet of production space, where Fairlife will install two state-of-the-art high-speed production lines. The project is receiving an abatement approved by the Michigan Strategic Fund Board, valued at approximately $3.9 million. The MSF board also approved a $17 million grant from the Strategic Site Readiness Program. It's money the city of Coopersville will use for upgrading the 50-year-old water system also used by Allendale and Polkton Charter Townships. The water system is currently operating at 80% capacity. Improving and expanding Coopersville's water infrastructure allows for future residential and commercial growth. I'm Patrick Center.
Coming up soon, another edition of the Study Hall podcast from School News Network, but first, news from around the state. The state of Michigan is asking a federal court to block the Department of Homeland Security from operating an immigration detention center in a converted warehouse in Romulus. We have more from Rick Pluta.
The lawsuit says DHS ignored federal procedures and environmental laws and failed to consult with local officials before making its decision and procuring the building with the capacity to house as many as 500 detainees. The city of Romulus is also part of the lawsuit. Mayor Robert McCrate says the facility is too close to residential neighborhoods, is in a floodplain, and violates local zoning rules.
In addition, this site is also located approximately 1 mile from our elementary and middle schools. In my opinion, DHS could not have picked a worse location.
The lawsuit asks for an injunction to halt the conversion or moving people into the facility while the case plays out. We have reached out to DHS for comment. I'm Rick Pluta in Romulus.
A new federal lawsuit accuses Grosse Pointe Public Schools of violating a parent's First Amendment rights to free speech. Colin Jackson has more.
The complaint says the district banned a parent from school grounds after he posted a video complaining about a pride flag that hung in a classroom. The no trespass order has now been in effect for almost a year and a half. Attorney David Coleman represents the parent. Coleman says his client had permission when he entered the school after classes to film and didn't do anything wrong.
They didn't like what my client said. They didn't like the content of his speech, so they punished him. And they would not stop punishing him unless we filed this lawsuit.
The district says it respects free speech rights, but also needs to protect the safety and welfare of its students and staff when it comes to building access. I'm Colin Jackson in Lansing.
Massive protests against the Trump administration are planned for Saturday. Previous No Kings rallies have brought out tens of thousands of people in Michigan and millions across the country. Sherry Masson is with the group Statewide Indivisible Michigan.
We need to be honest here. One of the oldest tricks of tyranny is fear. Scare people, divide them, convince them that obedience is patriotism and silence is safety. And once again, that trick is being used to drag us into war.
Protests are scheduled to take place in nearly 100 communities across the state, including more than 30 in Metro Detroit. Focus West Michigan is brought to you by listeners like you. To support this show and everything we do here, visit WGVUnews.org and click the donate button. And for a weekly dose of news right to your inbox, sign up for the WGVU newsletter. Students in Michigan are struggling with reading, with average test scores for Michigan third graders hitting historic lows. But students are beating the averages in Caledonia Community Schools. Today on Study Hall from School News Network, fourth grade teacher Amy Dykstra-House talks about how she integrates reading skills into all subjects as part of a curriculum that takes students from learning to read to reading to learn.
Hello everyone, and welcome to Study Hall from School News Network, your window into the public schools of Kent County, Michigan. A special welcome to our listeners at WGVU. Today's topic is reading and American students' continuing struggles with it. Educators and lawmakers are struggling to turn around years of poor test scores, both in Michigan and nationwide. A new Michigan law is due to take effect in 2027, which will require more screening for dyslexia and training for teachers in the so-called science of reading. Yet at Caledonia Community Schools, southeast of Grand Rapids, students have consistently outperformed the state and national averages for several years. Last year, 74% of Caledonia fourth graders scored proficient in the Michigan Student Test of Educational Performance, or MSTEP, compared to 42% statewide. How are they doing it? I asked Amy Dykstra-House, a veteran fourth grade teacher at Kettle Lake Elementary School, and visited her classroom.
We talked about those moving puzzle pieces. What are those moving puzzle pieces called, Liam? The tectonic plates. Turn to somebody near you and say tectonic plates.
Tectonic plates.
Tectonic plates. Everybody on page 22.
Okay, well that was very cool, very interesting. Amy, welcome, and thank you for allowing us to visit your creative classroom.
Absolutely, thanks for coming.
Yeah. So you've been teaching here about 8.5 years, you said. Tell me a little bit more about that lesson we were just hearing and how you weave like reading skills into, you know, students learning about geology.
Yeah. CKLA does a really great job.
Now let's back up a minute. Oh, yeah. CKLA, what is that?
Yeah, it stands for Core Knowledge Language Arts.
Language Arts, okay.
So it's kind of a program that encompasses not just reading, but also the information that they're going to glean. So as you get into a third and fourth grade classroom, we really focus on knowledge. But kindergarten, first and second are also really looking at all of the skills to go with phonics, morphology, grammar. We don't do as much of that as we get into the fourth grade on the phonics side, but we are really into the knowledge portion.
I've heard it described as going from learning to read to reading to learn.
Yeah, we love that phrase because as they are learning to read, they're not able to process as much of the comprehension because they're just basically focused on phonics. But as we move into third and fourth grade, now we're reading to learn, and they're challenging each other to like really go back into the text and try and infer what is it that the author's trying to teach us. I love CKLA, and that's how we approach it every time we say CKLA, because I think of this curriculum kind of like a huge file cabinet for each one of my students. And as they open that file cabinet, they have different files. So for example, let's look at what we're talking about with geology in fourth grade. In kindergarten, they're taking that file, opening it for the first time, and they're learning about our Earth and how do they take care of it. Then in first grade, they're going to open that file again, and they're going to be looking at the history of the Earth. Second grade is going to be talking about cycles in nature. Third grade's going into ecology. And then fourth grade, we go to geology. Well, every time they pull that file, they're able to add more pages of information. They're adding more vocabulary. They're able to build on that knowledge that they had from the previous year and be like, oh, yeah, I remember when we talked about. And it just becomes just this beautiful, fluid information that they're able to then build on.
So it's very systematic, right?
Yeah.
One layer builds upon, each layer builds upon the previous layer.
Yeah.
And as part of this, I assume you're trying to engage students' interest in reading and a love for reading?
Absolutely. And yeah. The kids do. They fall in love with reading, mm-hmm. Not just through the lessons and the units, but also just through the daily interaction of pulling more out. The lessons are super engaging. And it's also, I feel, really important that the teacher's excited. So hopefully from the lesson that you were just watching, you're able to really hear the kids excited about reading because I love it. And yeah. We do a lot of fun things with it as well. So you'll notice there's readers, extra books all around the classroom for kids to read more about geology. And we do fun things. We really engage them in like extra celebrations at the end of the month. We have a genre challenge every month that if they read so many books outside of the text we're reading, they get, you know, like in our Middle Ages unit, we did a huge celebration where they're dressing up like knights with aluminum foil.
Oh, wow.
And we're having jousting matches and we're axe throwing and creating like
not real axes.
No, they were those plastic ones. They were great. Uh-huh. But just letting them recognize like learning can be fun. Mm-hmm. So we do a lot of interaction with group work. A lot of dialogue, I love debating with the kids on certain things, but just pulling what they know and being excited about it.
Yeah, I think it's fantastic what you and your teaching colleagues do, and my thanks to you, Amy, for meeting with us this morning and helping our listeners better understand how you're helping students understand reading and to do it well. So best wishes for continued good results.
Thank you.
And thanks to our listeners at WGVU for joining us. To hear the full version of the podcast, go to schoolnewsnetwork.org and click on podcasts, or you can find it wherever you get your podcasts. Until next time, happy studying.
This has been Focus West Michigan from WGVU for Wednesday, March 25, 2026. I'm Joe Bilecki. Our audio operations manager is Rick Buehrling, and our news and public affairs director is Patrick Center. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and we'll be back with more news and events in West Michigan tomorrow. Thanks for listening.